Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello, and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, contributing editor and film critic for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Ken Miller, managing editor of Las Vegas Weekly. Thank you for being here.
It's great to be here.
My most frequent guest, I think.
Oh, really? I'm honored.
always ready to step up and see awesome, awesome films like Fast and Furious.
I'm still waiting.
Eventually something. So the first awesome movie that we saw this week was Fast and Furious, the fourth movie in the Fast and or Furious franchise, starring – this one's back to starring the original cast members Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Jordana Brewster, and Michelle Rodriguez, who doesn't really do a whole lot in this movie. She's basically only in the first 10 minutes, so in case you plan to see it for Michelle Rodriguez only, be warned.
Should we warn them that there were spoilers here? We're going to give this away.
Do you want to give it away? I mean,
well, you kind of have to in a way to get into the plot, don't you?
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, and then any spoiler that we would give away here is only within those first like 10 minutes or so.
Right.
So we'll see if we can do it without it. But just in case, if you are worried about hearing too much about the twists and turns of the Fast and Furious franchise, then
we'll try to warn you.
Be warned. So I know you hated this movie, and I think maybe I just see more bad movies, and I have a larger range of dislike. But I didn't hate this movie. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it. Unless you're some sort of hardcore Fast and Furious fan, which is a sort of disturbing idea anyway. But I did like, I will say, the one part that Michelle Rodriguez really participates in, which is the opening sequence where she and Vin Diesel and one of the characters actually from the third movie, the Tokyo movie, who makes a short appearance here as well, they do this sort of hijacking maneuver where they're stealing gas tankers that are being pulled by a semi-truck on this like twisty mountain road in the Dominican Republic. And I actually thought that sequence was exciting. It was well done and it was innovative. It wasn't just like, here's this car and it goes fast and here's this other car and it goes faster. So at that point, I thought maybe this will turn out to be good.
I disagreed on the opening sequence. I mean, there was one moment of that sequence that I thought was very well done. But overall, I didn't really feel, I think, what I was supposed to feel in that scene, which was that, you know, grabbing the arm of your chair excitement. I never really got that from this, primarily because I found it very badly edited. I didn't think it seemed like the majority of the stunts they were trying to do were just putting a car into reverse. I mean, it was, you know, it's like happened like three or four times in the scene.
It
was just very repetitive, very kind of like, okay, we figured out this stunt. We're going to use it as many times as we can in this one scene to justify, you know, the budget or whatever. But I guess the reason I didn't really like this scene too much is because it promised something that actually kind of never came. I mean, it was like that was really the most exciting part of the movie for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the rest of the movie completely fell flat after that.
Right. Well, I agree with you there. That was easily the most exciting part of the movie. And everything else, even – well, obviously after that sequence, you have to get a bunch of plot. And that's boring because you have to watch Vin Diesel act and Paul Walker. And they're like a dueling who can possibly emote less and be less – expressive.
I mean, if I can think of one movie for this word for this movie, it would be dour. I mean, it was just such a dour movie. There wasn't any spark to anything in the plot. There were no surprises.
Right.
I mean, even the twist at the end was ridiculous. It was just completely, who cares?
Yeah.
But anyway, all I'll say about this movie is, if you are a fan of Fast and Furious, or the Fast and the Furious, or whatever you want to call it, then go see it. I mean, you're going to go see it. There's nothing I can do to stop you. But I think even for fans of Fast and Furious, this could fall a little short. It just wasn't very interesting.
No, it definitely isn't very interesting. And I think the car chases after that opening are very repetitive. They're a lot of the same stuff, and you have to wait in between them for a whole lot of boring plot development. The villain is there's not much of a villain to this, and I think that's what you have to You have to have something to hang on to there, like wanting, why do you want them to win the car race or whatever, because they got to get this bad guy, and who cares about this bad guy?
Right. And, you know, I said earlier that we might do spoilers here. The more I think about it, I guess it really doesn't matter. We don't have to say anything about this post because it doesn't really add anything to the movie anyway. It's what happens to Michelle Rodriguez is a plot device to keep the movie moving forward. Nope, no pun intended. Yeah. But, I mean, it just seems like in the world of Fast and Furious, everything can be solved by driving really fast.
Well, right, and that's, yes.
And, you know, and if you drive a Toyota Prius like I do, if you drive a Mini Cooper like I used to, you're considered a wimp, you know, a fruitcake, and not part of this guy's world.
So you felt the movie was insulting
you. Well, no. Not insulting, but they're setting up this superhero mentality where only the superheroes get to drive these muscle cars, these souped-up, machines that, I don't know. I found it very, almost kind of, what was the word I used yesterday? Almost kind of offensive in a way. To women, just to the law in general.
To the law.
I mean, the rules that are broken in this movie. I mean, the ending, everything.
They do break a lot of rules.
I could go on and on.
I found it far too silly to be offensive, and I certainly, I don't know if it was offensive to women. I mean, the women in the movie are almost a non-entity. I mean, poor Jordana Brewster, who also gets roped into coming back, and her character has essentially nothing to do. And at least Michelle Rodriguez, at the beginning of the movie, in that opening sequence, she is just as involved in the sort of hijacking thing as the rest of them are, and she's clearly as much of a badass as anybody. So in that sense, I thought it was fair to women, and the only other woman character is the sort of henchman sidekick or whatever of the villain who ends up helping Vin Diesel and Paul Walker out eventually. So I don't know if I would say that. And I too drive a Prius. And the whole car culture thing, I think, is just – I mean, that's just the world that they're in. And I would bet that if we had someone in here who was actually involved in that car culture, that they would say that this is so completely inaccurate and it doesn't understand it at all. And so it's so cartoonish that I couldn't get worked up over it.
Well, one last thing. At the end of the movie – Vin Diesel is sentenced to prison.
Right.
And I don't think I'm going to be spoiling much there. But, I think you're supposed to feel this feeling of, oh, man, Vin Diesel's going to prison. All I could think of was, good, get this guy off the road. I mean, he's a menace.
He is a menace.
And all this talk about him being this hero because of what he does, it's complete baloney. But anyway.
Yes. No, I agree. And that ending is incredibly stupid. And I'm sure I don't know how they'll explain it in whatever the next one movie, which will just be called Ampersand or something, as they keep removing words from it. So
I think they'll call it FNF.
FNF, there you go. Yes. Yeah, and they'll stand for something else. So I would give it – I'll give it like 2 stars out of 5. I don't think it's really worth any less than that. But my guess is you wouldn't rate
one
it that
star.
Hard. One
yeah,
star.
One,
yeah.
One
either
star.
Either way, not worth checking out.
And like I said, a critic-proof movie. It's got a built-in audience base. Not much we're going to say is going to change your mind, but – even from the standpoint of Fast and Furious, which I've seen the original, can't recommend it at all.
No, I don't think so. So, okay, moving on. There's a number of sort of smaller indie-ish comedy dramas opening this week. One of which is The Great Buck Howard, which is playing over at the Brendan Theaters in the Palms as part of the CineVegas screening series over there. And I saw this movie a long time ago. I saw this at the CineVegas Festival last year, which was almost a year ago. So my memories aren't necessarily as sharp as yours are, I'm sure, having seen it recently. But I thought it stars Colin Hanks and John Malkovich. Malkovich plays the title character, Buck Howard, who is a sort of washed up magician / mentalist who still has this inflated sense of his own importance. He was on The Tonight Show 60 something times, but now he's touring like little community theaters and stuff like that. And Colin Hanks is this young idealistic guy who drops out of law school because he wants more out of life, and he answers an ad to become the road manager for Buck Howard. And I don't know what kind of movie this was supposed to be. I think that setup, you expect some sort of like life lesson learning kind of thing where he's going to glean some sort of wisdom from Buck Howard, which really doesn't happen. It's not much of a coming of age, maturing kind of thing. He has a conflict with his dad, who's played by Tom Hanks, Colin Hanks' actual dad. But that's really underdeveloped. There's a romance with a character played by Emily Blunt, which I also thought was underdeveloped. And the whole movie, I thought, just didn't ever go anywhere. And I like John Malkovich, and he hams it up as Buck Howard, which he hams it up in everything. But I just thought this movie was so flat.
Well, I give you credit for writing a review after seeing it, you know, so long ago because...
Oh, well, I wrote the review at that time too.
Oh, you did?
It's
okay.
A reprint, yeah.
Okay, oh, it's a reprint. Well, I actually liked it quite a bit, but a little caveat there. While it's enjoyable when it's over, there's really not a lot to remember. It's a very light, it's a very drama light type of movie. It almost reminded me of something that Woody Allen would have done, you know, in the midst of all this product that he's putting out. It's just very middle of the road entertainment.
Yeah.
Nothing really stands out about it. But I did, I mean, I like John Malkovich. I thought he was fun. You know, Colin Hanks probably will never be the leading man status type of guy. He's a good actor, but he hasn't got that weight of presence.
No, he's very bland. He's very bland.
When you look at the movie for what it really is, which is basically a tribute to the great Kreskin,
right?
Then you kind of think to yourself, well, really, what is this all about? Why was this movie made? I mean, I guess I did learn something from it, you know. You say that he didn't really learn anything from Buck Howard. I think what he probably learned was that you should just do what you love. I mean, forget what everyone else says you should do and just do what you love to do. But
that was what he was about to do anyway. He quit law school at the beginning of the movie to become a writer, which is what he really wanted. And then he just did that some more.
So he just kind of reinforced what he already knew.
Exactly.
From an overall standpoint, I really – This is the type of movie that I think is better watched at home than in a movie theater. It's a more intimate type of movie. I don't really see it as a big screen type of experience.
No.
I hope it don't hurt box office business. Here,
who cares?
But it's the type of movie that when it's on cable, you might turn it on and enjoy it for a little while. It's just very pleasant. But it does have faults that I have to bring out. And some of these things, the more I thought about it, really bugged me. I didn't understand the subplot, what the point of the subplot was with Steve Zahn, and I don't know the name of the actress. But
oh, the like brother and sister.
The brother and sister,
yeah.
was absolutely, I mean, completely pointless. It had no bearing whatsoever in the plot. It was meant to be kind of catch you off guard, but it didn't have a bearing on what happened later on in the movie. It was its own little subplot, I think, just to give them something to do.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the movie felt like that, where every so often you'd see like certain characters come in or certain developments. There's suddenly Buck Howard becomes a big sensation again for about 10 minutes and he goes on TRL and things like that. And you're like, well, now they're getting to what the movie is really about. And then it just kind of fizzles. And that was, I think, the whole movie for me is that it never went. It seemed like it was all getting ready to go somewhere and then just stopped. And
right.
and I realize, you know, as you say, it's a tribute to the amazing Kreskin, who's a real person, and his life, as far as I know, didn't contain any sort of crazy plot developments. But at the same time, and also
the constant people asking if he's gay. Really, what did that have to do with anything? It was never revealed. It was never made part of the plot, other than everyone saying, "Is he gay?" I mean, I guess it was supposed to be funny, but I didn't find it humorous at all.
I didn't really find much about this movie all that humorous. Again, it's like it's almost humor. It's almost drama. It's almost something, but it's never actually anything. And I agree.
Right.
If you flip past it on TV, you might say, hey, John Malkovich, he's fun to watch, and he's hammy and whatever. And you could watch it for half an hour without thinking about anything, but you wouldn't really care if you missed the beginning or you missed the end, and
right.
You wouldn't ever try to see the rest of it, and you probably wouldn't remember a week later that you'd even seen it.
Yeah. It's not a laugh-out-loud movie. It's a movie of little episodes that are meant to be, you know, to sum up one man's life. But, I you know, like I said, it was a nice try. I mean, the movie doesn't offend. I think it seeks to please its audience, but it really doesn't – it just doesn't go anywhere. I guess
right.
is the ultimate problem for me, but you know, if you're looking for, you know, for decent entertainment at this time of year, you could do worse.
Yeah, you could do worse. You certainly could, but I think you could also do better. So I can't give it more than 2.5 stars out of 5.
I do have one more thing to say
please,
about the movie.
Yes.
What did you think about the using Tom Hanks as his father in the movie?
Well, I think the reason that they use Tom Hanks, and Tom Hanks is also a producer on this movie.
Right.
And I think that probably the reason is the Tom Hanks clout gets the movie made. And Colin Hanks goes, Dad, will you produce my movie and do a cameo and then we can get money for it? And Dad says, okay. I mean, maybe that's a simplistic analysis, but That was my...
Well, when I started seeing the scenes with Martha Stewart, Regis, and Kelly Lee, or Kelly Ripa, I started thinking to myself that this started to smack of a, hey, guys, let's all get together and make a movie, you know, about whatever. I mean, we'll use all our, you know, all the clout we have with these people and get them all into one movie and really knock the hell out of people.
Yeah, and Tom Hanks calls you up and says, come do a cameo in my movie, and you say yes, of course. I think that's the way it works if you're a celebrity.
Right.
So, acting wise, he was fine. He only has like, what, 2-3 scenes maybe, and he does a perfectly good job, but.
Yeah. Well, and acting wise, I think everyone was fine. You know, I don't think there were any duds in the movie. Emily Blunt was fine. Malkovich did what he needed to do. Oh, by the way, one film flaw that I need to point out, because I'm a film flaw guy. Early in the movie, he's talking to a reporter from Maxim magazine. And then the guy's article comes out, and it's in Entertainment Weekly. So,
oh, really? I didn't even remember
needed to make sure I pointed that out. I always like to, you know, spot the
So
just my little thing. So
yeah. So maybe a rental on this one, or catch it on cable. That's about the best we can say. But there are a couple other movies opening this week. One of which I do want to recommend, and neither of these that you have seen, but. Adventureland, which is opening at a few theaters, I think, around town this weekend. And this is from Greg Mottola, who was the director of Superbad. And here he's both the writer and director. And it's a sort of coming-of-age story. Jesse Eisenberg plays a recent college graduate. It takes place in 1987 for no real reason other than I think the writer-director also had similar experiences when he was this age in 1987. Jesse Eisenberg, he's just graduated from college, and he doesn't have really any direction, and he's wanted to have a big trip to Europe, and his parents suddenly don't have any money, and he's stuck in his hometown, and so he goes to work at this amusement park, and where he meets this character played by Kristen Stewart, and they fall in love, and there's some complications along the way, and it's certainly a predictable story arc, and it's familiar, I think, from a lot of romantic comedies, and it's very reminiscent of 80s movies like, you know, John Hughes pictures and things like that. It reminded me a lot of a movie from last year, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, which was also about these sort of semi-alterna culture figures who bond over their tastes in music and their contempt for their fellow sort of mainstream losers or whatever. And it similarly goes through very predictable plot developments. But at the same time, I liked the characters. I cared what happened to them, whether they got together, even though you really, you know that they're going to get together. And I liked the acting. And there's some funny, good comic relief. Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live play the managers of the amusement park. And Martin Starr from Freaks and Geeks plays the Jesse Eisenberg's sort of sarcastic friend. And it painted a nice little world, and I like that it didn't go overboard on the, like, hey, look, it's the 80s kind of things. It wasn't like some sort of Ben Stiller movie where everyone's wearing exaggerated 70s clothing or something like that. So I think it's a warm film, and I would recommend seeing it. I think if you like comedies, if you like, you know, romantic movies, and I think it's not like some contrived Sandra Bullock kind of thing. It feels very natural. Yeah. So,
well, I think Eisenberg has a heck of a future too. He's very impressive.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He was in The Squid and the Whale, and he was at some movie that I saw recently. In some movie I saw recently, actually, that was at Cinevegas, I think in 2007, maybe, called The Living Wake, which is this very strange showcase for this one comedian. And he plays a very different kind of character. He has this sort of upper crust accent, and it's very sort of absurdist. And it was interesting to see him do more than just be the, like, mumbly teen, which mm-hmm. I think he's done a lot. But he's mm-hmm. He's good. He's good in Adventureland, so I would recommend that. And also opening this week is a movie actually we talked about on the podcast last week because of a scheduling confusion. But actually opening this week, Sunshine Cleaning, which I did not particularly care for. I think it's the indie film version of a lame Hollywood picture. It's I realize this is sort of inconsistent. I just said that Adventureland was predictable and yet enjoyable. And my main criticism would be that Sunshine Cleaning is predictable and trite and goes through the motions, but I think in a much less enjoyable way. It's very dour, as you were saying, like about Fast and Furious. It's not fun. It's sort of plodding. It has this awful thudding symbolism. And so I think it's the kind of thing that looks prestigious. It looks serious. It was at Sundance. But it's just as phony, I think, as a lot of Hollywood stuff. But to be fair, Anthony Del Valle, who was on last week, enjoyed it more than I did, and it does have good performances from Amy Adams and Emily Blunt, who is in two movies in Vegas.
Seems to be in
everything.
Yes.
Not
that I'm complaining.
No, she's good. She's good, and she's good in both of those movies. In Buck Howard, again, she doesn't like her character doesn't go anywhere, but she's good in Sunshine Cleaning as well. And then a few things on DVD, and actually I don't know if you've seen any of these movies, but nothing really worth recommending, but some big stuff. Yes Man with Jim Carrey, which was sort of mildly amusing. Middling, yeah, I see you shrugging over there.
Yeah, I've kind of lost interest in Jim Carrey over the years, but you know, I think he's giving the people what they want as opposed to some of the serious stuff he's tried doing.
Right.
Some of it, I mean, Eternal Sunshine worked, but I mean, I think he realizes that comedy is where he belongs.
And this, I think, is a good comedy for him. It's very formulaic, middle of the road mainstream entertainment, but he works well enough in it, and it's not full of like sort of desperate over-the-top gags. Like the last comedy was, I think he did, was Fun with Dick and Jane, which was just pathetic, I think. And this one is
This just seems like a variation on Liar Liar to me.
Yeah, so. It is. And I think like Buck Howard, you could catch it. Now that it's on DVD, if you have nothing else to do, or if you caught it on cable, you could watch it for half an hour and maybe get a chuckle or two, but that's about it. And then The Day the Earth Stood Still, which was a big special effects blockbuster that I cannot recommend at all. And Doubt, which was a big awards bait kind of film, and I was disappointed. I think it's very stagey. It's based on a play.
Didn't it get shut out at the Oscars?
Yeah, I don't think it won, but it did. It did get nominated. Meryl Streep and Amy Adams, who's in Sunshine Cleaning this week, and Viola Davis were all nominated for acting awards.
Right, but I don't think there was any.
No, I don't think there were any wins, and I don't think it deserved any. I think it's an interesting idea, but it probably works on the stage. But it's just very – it's full of characters who represent things and don't necessarily feel like real people and speeches that are very speechy. And it just felt very stagey to me, which I think it would work in a less realistic setting when you're watching it on stage and you don't have to buy into the world completely. So nothing to rent on DVD really this week. But go see Fast and Furious. Go see Adventureland, I think, in theaters. I would absolutely recommend that. And maybe wait on DVD for some of that other stuff if you have an interest in it. So my thanks to Ken Miller. Always a pleasure.
No problem.
And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything
except me.